Well, maybe it wasn't a coach. Cavs lose last night. Mike Snyder Sports coming up for you in 3 minutes.
Getting there on time just isn't good enough. Traffic and weather on the 10s with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100, Cleveland's News Radio.
We all got to do the laundry. Matt Granite, the deal boss, Channel 3's Morning News. Will's Ways to Save is in. We spend a lot on that detergent. You have come across one that might do a better job and save me some money.
Oh, guaranteed to do a better job. 3 years worth of laundry detergent bill for $35 from what is now considered to be one of the best detergents in the world.
Wow. Tell me about it.
So it sounds like a hoax, first of all, right? You're like, no way. Another thing. This is real. This is actually picked by the Today Show as a top lifestyle-changing product for 2018. I've actually been using it a little bit longer than the Today Show. It's an award-winning natural laundry product. Does an incredible job with both whites, colors, works in high-efficiency washers, regular washers. The great thing about this, because it is completely natural, dermatologically tested for sensitive skin, mm-hmm. with the way that it's built, Bill, you get 720 loads from the pack.
Good
so
grief.
It's called the Eco Egg is what they call it.
All right.
Kind of looks like an egg.
Yeah.
Plastic egg, kind of. BPA-free.
What's like
in your washer basin.
Like $1,000?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it comes down to. It goes into the drum of the washing machine. And the mineral pellets, which are all natural, clinically proven to not only be very safe for your skin, but also for your clothing, produce that cleaning foam that'll lift stains, dirt, and grime.
All right. Now, how much?
So this retails usually for about $65, which is amazing because you get 720 loads out of the pack.
Wow.
I found this for $34.99 and, again, 720 washes. For the average family in Northeast Ohio, that's about 3 years of washes for $35.
And you've been using this, so we know it works.
I've been using it. Yeah, I've been using it almost a year now, and in the last few months, I've been doing it with an infant. So I'll tell you right now, we are very careful what goes near little Mara.
Yeah.
And this is something that I can definitely stand by.
Good stuff. The deal boss, Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News, Will's Ways to Save. Watch him there this morning. Back next week with more savings. Follow him on Twitter. Always good stuff. Hey, get some rest this weekend. Thanks, pal.
No, right. Awesome.
Coming up in 5, President Trump on the campaign trail and talking immigration. Bill Zimfer will join me. Plus, we'll get a preview of Fox News Sunday. Have Chris Wallace take us through some of the news and noise of the week. That coming up in 5 for you on News Radio WTAM 1100. 5:15, Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Mike Sports Mornings 15 and 45 past. Maybe it wasn't a coach.
The coach, when you're 336-1, you got to get your message out. You got to get out in front. And I think that's what's happening right now.
All right.
Yeah, we'll get to Hugh Jackson and his remarks in a moment. First off, Cavaliers had an excellent beginning at the Q last night, led by 12 over the visiting Nuggets. But in the second quarter, Denver put things together.
Decker got stripped. Now comes Harris. Harris up ahead to Murray. Murray lays it up. Murray lays it in. It's Nuggets 44, Cavaliers 38.
Nuggets outscored the Cavs 35-15 in the second quarter. Never looked back on their way to a 110-91 rout. Denver now 7-1. Jordan Clarkson had 117 for the Cavs, who are now 1-7. Prior to last night's game, Larry Drew indicated there's been some progress in a positive way in his talks with the Cavs, but no deal yet. Earlier in the day, J.R. Smith, who's now out of the rotation, indicated, yeah, he'd love to be traded if he's not going to play here. Cavs play again on the road tomorrow at Charlotte. Now let's get to the Browns. They host the Chiefs on Sunday. Jarvis Landry feels that things have gone pretty well this week in preparations.
I think we're off to a good start, a great start, with 2 days under our belt of practice and, you know, getting back on the same page and obviously getting ready for this game this Sunday.
Now, yesterday, Hugh Jackson going public for the first time since he was fired by the team. Now, this was a remark that he disagreed with.
I think the message today is we're not going to put up with internal discord.
Jackson, speaking to Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com, said he does not believe that was the case.
I didn't perceive it as internal discord. I think you can disagree with people and not have it be discord. Discord to me is a strong word. That means there's always infighting. That's pretty a hot word. I didn't see that. I know there was disagreements. And rightfully so, who doesn't disagree? But I think the term internal discord is a little more.
So Hugh, trying to get out in front, 336-1 his record here. He says that they really broke it down the way they did it. It was not what he was sold when he took the job initially. And he would have drafted Carson Wentz and so forth. He'll go on and talk about it. Yeah, he wants another chance again. I don't see it coming for him, though, as a head coach. He's going to have to be an offensive coordinator somewhere before he gets another shot elsewhere. NFL last night. Boy, John Gruden's first season in Oakland not going well. 49ers 34, Oakland 3. Buckeyes back in action after a week off. Tomorrow at noon, we'll host Nebraska, home of the Indians and the Cavs. Mike Snyder, News Radio, WTAM 1100.
The Zimfer file this morning, and immigration has been talked about a lot lately. President Trump makes it really one of his big parts of any stump speech. He'll be here in Cleveland on Monday. Bill, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bill. Yeah, the president continues to hammer away on immigration, and he will continue to do that as he has numerous appearances scheduled. You talked about Cleveland coming up on Monday. He's got two today, two tomorrow, two on Saturday, and then three on Monday, including that stop in Cleveland. And at each of these stops, he seems to ratchet up the immigration issue even more. Yesterday, in that speech at the White House, he talked about working on plans to revise the asylum process to make it more difficult to seek asylum in the United States specifically. It's believed, again, he was short on specifics, but it's believed that he would like to do away with those crossing into the country illegally being able to apply for asylum, which goes against current asylum laws. Also contradictory on a couple of things. He pointed to keeping people out, referring to the caravan, but then said they would have to apply. Well, I think that's what they want to do when they get to the border. But maybe the most inflammatory thing he said was that if these people in the caravan throw any projectiles at our troops or our border security people, they will be treated as if they have a firearm. So, rules of engagement are going to be very important as we send as many as 10,000, 15,000 troops to the border, Bill. Expect to see this ratcheted up even more. It's going to be a wild time there in Cleveland Monday.
Yeah, that's a good applause line when he's talking about this. Yeah, I did write down rules of engagement. That makes me a bit nervous to hear the commander-in-chief say, they throw a rock, we could pull a gun on them.
Absolutely. This made a lot of people nervous. And military officials, of course, we haven't heard them comment on this. Remember, these troops are being sent to the border in a support role. These are not combat troops, although I'm sure there will be some weapons there as well. I think military officials might have a little bit to say about rules of engagement.
Bill Zimfer, Bill, thanks. Have a good weekend, too, bud.
You too, Bill. Thanks.
A little sound from the campaign trail.
The Democrat agenda is the agenda of the extreme far left. They've gone crazy, folks. They've gone totally loco. Republicans are the party of all Americans.
President Trump out in the Show Me State, Missouri, yesterday. Vice President Pence was in Georgia.
I'd like to remind Stacey and Oprah and Will Ferrell, I'm kind of a big deal, too.
Fox's Chris Wallace. And with a preview of Fox News Sunday, of course, early voting underway, Election Day on Tuesday. A lot going on, Chris.
Well, obviously on Sunday, it'll be just 2 days before the election, so our primary focus will be on the midterms. And it seems, you know, everybody always says, well, this is the most important election of our lifetime.
Right.
People are voting as if it's a very important election. As you point out, the heavy early voting in a lot of states. In fact, it's very possible that by the time Election Day dawns on November 6th, that more people will actually have voted overall already in early voting than voted in the 2014 midterms in some states. A lot of key races. People really do seem engaged. I have to say, I think it's a lot about Donald Trump. I think Democrats really want to put a check on him and have a real chance of doing that if they flip the House. Republicans very much want to support the president and want to keep his agenda going. And I think there's a good chance they're going to be able to do that in the Senate.
Well said. I'll be fascinated to see numbers. I mean, we know everybody's early voting, but what will the total votes be? In other words, is it going to be the same 35% of the country and they're just all voting early or what?
No, that's a key question. Are people just banking the votes early and just shifting them from election day to before? My guess is when you have this much early voting that we're going to see a lot more than 35%. And not that it's going to be a presidential election year when we get something like 60% turnout, but I think it'll be a lot more than 35%. And I will say that about Donald Trump. He energizes everybody, whether you're for him or against him, he energizes people. We're going to have the chair of the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, Chris Van Hollen, a senator from Maryland, and the vice chair of the Republican Campaign Committee, that's Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina, and we'll go through a lot of the key races. There are bunch of races in a number of states that could flip Republican to Democrat, Democrat to Republican. The big advantage that the Republicans have on the Senate is because 6 years ago, which is when all of these senators last ran, was a very good year for Democrats. It was Barack Obama in 2012 getting reelected. There are a lot of Democrats in red states, 10 Democrats running in states that Donald Trump won in 2016. So they're all vulnerable, and a bunch of them, the best example would be North Dakota. Heidi Heitkamp,
yeah,
I think, is probably out. I think she's gonna lose to Kevin Cramer, a Republican congressman. You got some good races in Ohio, yep, particularly that governor's race.
Yep. Cordray and DeWine. I mean, the Senate race, it looks like the polling is going towards Brown because he's been the name for so long, Congressman Renacci, the challenger. But look, Trump's in here Monday for a rally at the IX. Who knows what can happen?
No, that's right. But interesting, I always say in politics, watch, particularly in the closing days of a campaign, watch what they do, not what they say. And when you see Trump now, he is going to states that he thinks he can flip. He isn't, it seems to me he's basically campaigning more to keep the Senate than he is to keep the House. He's not going to a lot of major suburban districts where he might be able to save a couple of Republican senators in suburban districts.
Fox's Chris Wallace. Watch him Sunday morning on Fox News. Chris, thanks, pal.
You bet. Thank you, Bill.
AM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Good morning. Michael Bauer. Let's follow up on the sadness in Pittsburgh this week in the synagogue and the shooter. In court facing a death penalty now, Michael?
Yeah, so according to reports here, Robert Bauer's attorneys pled not guilty to the federal hate crimes, 44 counts altogether, from the mass shooting at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh this past weekend. His lawyers said at this point in the proceedings that he would do what is typical and ask the court to enter a plea of not guilty, also asking for a jury trial, which prosecutors estimated could take 3 to 4 weeks or longer if Attorney General Jeff Sessions certified it to be a capital case and if indeed death penalty charges were to follow along with that. So we know that he is up for charges that could involve the death penalty, but it's important to note right now no decision has been made on the death sentence. One of the factors that federal prosecutors can cite in seeking the death penalty is whether victims were particularly old or young, and we know that 6 of the 11 victims at the synagogue were at least 70 or older. So that's leading towards that direction. The requests have already been put in. We're still waiting to hear word back from Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
Michael Bauer on it this morning. Michael, thanks.
You got to have a great morning, Bill.
Former FBI guy and crime terrorism analyst Brad Garrett, a little more in-depth on this. Brad, whether it's Robert Bowers, the shooter in Pittsburgh at the synagogue, or this Sayoc guy that was mailing the packages, I guess many times the question is, you know, both disturbed, why now? Why act out now, though?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Bill, because most of these mass killers or would want to be mass killers always find some justification to launch their act. Now, you know, some could complain because of the divisiveness of politics and some of the, you know, raw things that are said publicly are cranking folks up. There's probably an argument to that. But, you know, we had mass shootings long before the current political climate. So, you know, I would say this, that both the mail bomber and the synagogue shooter have a lot of parallels going on. Isolated, as you mentioned, troubled, paranoid, they get locked in on one thing or one idea or one hatred. You know, in the bomber's case, obviously locked on the Democrats who didn't agree with the current president. Bowers just had a, you know, an out-and-out hatred for the Jewish faith and what it, in his mind, represented and what it was doing to, you know, make this country less of what it could be. So you look at all that and you ask people like me, well, could we have stopped either one of them? And I think the answer is no, because we didn't know they were going to do it. So, you know, Bowers has all this hatefulness online, but that's not against the law.
Right, right. Brad Garrett, for another minute, it, you know, we know the two that caused the events we're talking about. So in law enforcement, I guess, what can you learn from this? As you say, you can see people that are posting things, but you know, we still have that freedom of speech in this country.
Well, that's right. And so this is really driven by you and I and the rest of the folks in this great country to come forward and say, you know, there's a guy, it looks like he's building some weird stuff in a van in a parking lot in South Florida or whatever it might be. Now, 9 out of 10, law enforcement will check it out and go, well, just sort of a nutty guy, but I don't think he's going to harm anybody.
Right.
Or not. And you got to get in front of these people if you can. But, you know, the sad fact is I could rattle off a dozen mass shooters that some of them you and I have talked about, Bill, that you just weren't going to get in front of them.
Crime Terror's Mantle's Brent here. Brent, thanks. If you work in law enforcement, I want to, it's a special good morning to you, and I mean that sincerely, special good morning to you, and thank you for what you do on the front lines. I had a long conversation last night with the Strongsville Chief of Police, Mark Fender. In Strongsville, you are in good hands. What a police force. And Mr. Fender kind enough to spend a little time with me, talk about policing and issues and all the things they're facing nowadays and culture and all. So shout out to all police, especially this morning and specifically Strongsville. Thank you, Chief Police Fender, last night for your time. He, as well as fire and everybody in Strongsville last night, the Strongsville Rec Center, we had our annual business expo. Mayor Tom Persiak and I had a chance to open the thing about 5 o'clock, posted some video pictures, Wilson Center Facebook page. WilsonCenter.com up there for you as well. I'll post some more stuff too this morning from last night. Big crowd, and thank you for listening. A lot of people coming by and saying hi. How about something different for your weekend coming up when it comes to a little food experience? News Radio, WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills, Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Always finding something new or reviewing a spot that maybe has been around a while. Talking about food and restaurants, a little beer news once in a while as well. Hi, Mark. Good morning.
Hey, Bill.
Great piece on Pickwick and Frolic and a 20th anniversary. But before we get to that, let's go to Deegan's Kitchen and Bar for a little weekend brunch preview here. Tell me about this. It's in Lakewood, right?
Yeah, it's right over on Detroit Avenue, busy stretch there. And, you know, our brunch series takes us to everything from down-home diners to fine dining. But I really like finding places like Deegan's, comfortable bars you usually think of for bellying up to the bar later at night. But they serve a very good brunch. I walked in there on a Sunday before 11 o'clock, and the place was already really filled. I mean, there were more than 50 people in there, everything from families to couples, old and young. Really enjoyed it. Traditional menu as well as some fun twists. I tried the jalapeno cornbread, which was just fantastic. Wasn't over the top, too hot. I also try to branch out when we hit these brunch places. You know, if it were up to me personally, if I'm not writing about it, I'm going to get carbs every week. But I try to branch out and try different things. I'm not vegetarian, but I do like trying occasionally a vegan dish. And I did try their a vegan breakfast. It was served in a small skillet, very tasty, and they've got a lot of things on the menu. They've got pastrami, lox, benedict, huevos rancheros. There'll be something for everyone there. And because, you know, there were a lot of Browns fans pre-gaming, there's an actual build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Ooh. So people can, if that's your speed, you've got some choices there. So Deegan's over on Detroit doing a really nice job in Lakewood.
May need it after a game, too, when it comes to the Browns. Deegan's Kitchen and Bar, see more at Cleveland.com. Great review. Now, also this weekend, Ohio City Galley is opening. Take me there for a little sneak peek.
Yeah, as you know, we try to write stories when places open or close and things are going on, but this one was very intriguing. Ohio City Galley is not a typical restaurant. This is in the old, I'm sure everybody remembers the old Massimo da Milano space over on Detroit.
Right
in Ohio City. Well, a Pittsburgh company, Galley Group, has opened Ohio City Galley. And what this is four restaurants under the same roof. It's a restaurant incubator. Now, the four restaurants are all Cleveland owned. This is basically, I'm describing this as a high class food court. All four places, locally owned, very different food. You've got the Rice Shop from Anthony Zappalo, Polka from Michael Nowak of the Black Pig, Tin Man, Sauce the City is there. So you've got four very different places. I really like the fact you can get a lot of different foods. There's actually a full bar area as well, which was a surprise to me. Very, very large space. Fantastic area. I mean, people, you see it when you come off the bridge from downtown, you'll see it. So Ohio City Galley, a restaurant incubator business. And the way it works is these restaurants are basically being given free rent. The Galley Group is picking up the utilities, the monthly bills, things like that. Very limited overhead for the restaurants. The thinking is, after a year, if they want to fly out on their own, they theoretically, hopefully, have saved that money that they wouldn't have spent on rent.
Yeah.
And other things.
Makes sense. Ohio City Galley opening later today, West 25th, Ohio City. Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Theater, cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter, mbona30. Always some good stuff he's posting. 5:58, you going? Baby. Elton John, tomorrow night at the L.A. Lady. There's some other stuff going on, too. Matter of fact, I picked out five things for your weekend, including Elton John. Put the links up there for some tickets as well. And Les Mis and all. So check out the Wills and Snyder page, willsandsnyder.com. Bill's five things for your weekend. You marry music, man. All right, let's talk some football. Best team coverage of the Browns. Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com. Eight-time Ohio Sports Writer of the Year, graduate Benedictine. I think I was with one of your fellow alums last night, Tom Persiak.
Yes.
Mayor of Strongsville?
Yeah. Yes. There you go. At least one of us was successful.
You guys stick together. And Benedictine, that's a great thing. Terry with us. Let's talk a little Browns. Terry, you wrote a couple of pieces this week I want to start with about. Let's start with Dorsey and what we're going to see Sunday with Kansas City. I was able to dial and listen to some of Andy Reid, the tip, you know, media gets the other coach each week. Mm-hmm. He was very complimentary of Dorsey, wasn't he?
Well, he should be because Dorsey helped get a lot of the players that, you know, made Reid successful. I mean, the nice thing that happened there in Kansas City is Dorsey was paired up with an elite coach and they clearly communicated very well. And Dorsey was part of the decision process on two quarterbacks, and they got them both right, you know, Alex Smith and then Patrick Mahomes. You got an elite coach, you get the quarterback right, you're on your way.
Yes, you are. You know, one thing, too, before I follow up on this Browns question, while I have both of you publicly, Bill Wills, Terry Pluto, I want to thank you both from the bottom of my heart for your kind words and time that you spent in my video as I got into the Press Club Hall of Fame last night. Thank you both very much.
Well,
and the great Joe Tate as also.
Yeah,
it was
the great Joe Tate.
It was very special. You needn't say any more about it. Thank you both so much, and I mean that.
You're welcome.
Well, you're welcome. How's that?
You had it all
thank
written
you
out for us, and Terry was real easy to do, wasn't it?
All right, now get back to work.
All right,
get back
now,
to work.
All right, now, Terry, yeah, you look at, you know, in a way, too, you see Patrick Mahomes, what we've seen with Baker Mayfield. As gloomy as things may be, firing coaches and so forth, you do have to feel upbeat going forward with a guy like Dorsey calling the football shots.
Exactly, and I mean, in fact, there's some people in Kansas City debating whether it was the player personnel director that pushed for Patrick Mahomes more than Dorsey or whatnot. My point, though, is a column I have today is that, you know, Dorsey made sure the decision process went where they got it right on Mahomes, and not that many people had him rated in the top 10 among quarterbacks, so that feels good, and, you know, I think some of his other things, too. The difficult part is when you don't have the coach piece, you know, you see what happens with the Browns this year. I mean, I'm fascinated to see what they're going to look like on Sunday, but what a team to debut against if you're Greg Williams. My goodness.
If there's anyone that believes he can get it done, it's Greg. I mean, we know he's turned down four jobs, Terry. They wrote him the contract. All he had to do was sign it. He could have gotten the job instead without even an interview.
So, why go there? You know, if you're them, why? Oh, well. Found out. Yeah, I was sitting there going, oh, Greg.
You know, you look at this game, though, for the Browns' perspective, though, Freddie Kitchens is going to be the first game, Terry, that he's ever called in a regular season in the NFL. It's a big task for the Browns to find a way on Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is because, I mean, the defense is going to be really pushed hard. And, of course, Greg Williams is going to have to stay calling the plays on defense and nobody draws it up this way, Mike. You talk about the plays coming down from ownership on down. Nobody said, boy, you know, after eight games, Greg will be the coach and Freddie Kitchens will be calling plays. It's just, even a month ago, nobody saw anything like this coming. I have to admit, even by Brown standards, it's pretty stunning.
Tip of that, Mary Kay Cambott, you're one of your cohorts sitting down getting a one-on-one with Hugh. Obviously, there's a PR spin to this. He wants to get back in the league. Who knows what can happen down the road. But, I mean, my take from the interview, he truly was shocked on Monday when he got fired.
Right, and I think he, to this day, doesn't understand the damage he did after the Tampa game where he ripped, you know, Haley and that. And you know, obviously, too, he didn't want Haley or any offensive coordinator to begin with, by the way.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com. Universal Windows Direct Countdown to Kickoff Sunday. Jack Casino, 9-1. Mark Munch Bishop, Greg Brenda, Mike Snyder. You get the best team coverage of the Browns. Coach Josh Cribbs, Bernie, Terry, Phil Savage, Fred. All at WTAM 1100, Cleveland's News Talk and Sports Station. All right, Terry, thanks, partner.
You're welcome.
Great follow on Twitter, too, at Terry. Scott Scuderis, producer extraordinaire. Alongside, we've got the Friday picks. Hey, Scoot.
Hey, Bill. All picks are against the spread for news entertainment only. Last week, 5-5. Year to date, 49 wins and 50 losses. And here we go for Saturday. All right. Penn State is at Michigan. Penn State is getting 10.5. I like Penn State plus 10.5. I think they're going to keep it close. Washington State laying 9.5 versus California. Take Washington State minus 9.5. Notre Dame, big game at Northwestern.
Northwestern coming
up. Yeah, playing a little strong there. Laying 9.5. I think Notre Dame a little too strong. I like Notre Dame minus 9.5. Georgia minus 9 at Kentucky. Kentucky playing some good ball. Squeaked one out last week, but I think the Bulldogs will be a little too tough. Take Georgia minus the 9. Alabama, Death Valley versus LSU, number 1 versus number 4. Bama squeaks this game out, but they don't cover. LSU's getting 15. Take LSU plus 15.
Buckeyes and the Nebs tomorrow.
Ohio State minus 18. Take it. Don't worry
about it.
Take it.
Don't worry. Cover. Take it to the bank. Cover. Got it. All right. Sunday.
All right. Packers at the Patriots. Sunday night game. I like the Packers plus 5.5 at the Patriots. Green Bay is 4-1 against the spread the last five games when playing on the road against New England. Saints and Rams. The Saints are plus 1. This game's going back and forth. Pick them minus 1. Plus 1. It's in New Orleans. Take the Saints plus the 1. The home underdog. Broncos versus Texans. Take the Broncos minus 1 versus the Texans. The Bucks versus the Panthers. I like the Bucks plus the 6 at Carolina.
And here finally, we go. Greg Williams, game one.
Game one. Cleveland Browns against the high potent office of the Kansas City Chiefs.
High potent?
High potent office of the high potent offense of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah?
Yes.
Didn't we have high potent play here one day?
Yeah. Cleveland is 5-1 against the spread. The last 6 when playing Kansas City.
But you can't get to 3 unless you do 1 and 2. That's what Greg Williams said.
Yeah. Yes. So take the Brownies plus the 8.
Take the Browns. Really?
Yes.
Really? Scooter, breaking news.
Take the
news.
Brownies plus the 8.
That may be bigger than the Jobs number at 830 as far as affecting the market today.
The Browns plus the 8.
Scooter likes the Browns plus the 8 points. Wow. Your weekend coming up, an extra hour to sleep and maybe check out a movie. Kevin Carr joins us from FatGuysTheMovies.com. Morning, Kevin.
Good. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Let's start with a classic, The Nutcracker and the Four Realms.
Yes, this is a classic, but it's got a new little twist to it. It's a sort of like reimagining of the Nutcracker story, also maybe a little bit of a sequel, where the daughter of the girl who was in the original Nutcracker play or musical, her daughter finds her way into the magical world and has to stop an outside threat from coming in and destroying the world. It reminds me a little bit of the Alice in Wonderland movies they made a couple years ago at Disney. Very opulent, very high production value. It's essentially a fairy tale. But, you know, it's also works as a nice kind of intro to Christmas right now. It's something that I think kids can enjoy, and parents will find some interesting stuff to look at on the screen.
I was going
to
say, from the trailer, the previews, it just looked beautifully. I mean, the production just looked fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. It certainly is not at want for visual imagery.
It's The Nutcracker and the Four Realms out this weekend. Kevin Carr is at FatGuysTheMovies.com. Okay, what's Suspiria about?
This is a remake of a horror movie from 1977, and a little bit odd that it's, you know, coming right after Halloween, but it debuted on Halloween evening. You could go see it on Halloween. It's a remake of this film about an American dancer who goes to an academy in Berlin for ballet, and it turns out that there might be a coven of witches running the whole show. Now, it's very different from the original in the sense of how it was set up, because the original does kind of have that. It's a very unique style. It has unique music. But this one's very creepy. It's drawn out. It feels very much like it takes place in the 70s. It's violent and off-putting at times. Actually has a lot of interesting stuff in there that I think could be actually, you know, studied for years to come. I think it's a really neat version of it.
Interesting. Dakota Johnson in that. Okay, let's go to Beautiful Boy. Now, this was correct me if I'm wrong, there was a book. This is a father and son, and we've got the topic of addiction being treated here, right?
Yeah, actually, based on two books, from both from the perspective of the son and the father. Steve Carell plays the true story of a writer whose son is involved in addiction, taking his whatever drugs he can, and the father's just trying to get him help, and he doesn't know what to do. There's only so much you could do as a support, but a lot of times the addict is the one who it definitely needs to make the change. And it's a struggle of somebody trying to be there for someone who is struggling with that addiction and how far to go and when to be a helping hand and when you have to stop. It's not an entertaining movie because it does deal with some heavy subjects, but it's a very topical movie and really good performances by both Carell and Timothée Chalamet, who plays his son.
Interesting. You'll be moved, informed, I guess, and entertained in a strange way. Then
I guess so. Yeah. It's such a harsh reality.
Sure.
It's not fun to watch. We'll say
so many families living it out, if you will. Okay. Yeah. All right. Finally, in biggie for the weekend, Bohemian Rhapsody. Tell me about it.
Yeah, this is the story of Freddie Mercury and his involvement in the rock band Queen. Stars Rami Malek, who's from Mr. Robot, who does a fantastic job as Freddie Mercury, really embodies the character. And it sort of shows the behind the scenes. What I liked about it is it's not just doesn't feel like a typical musician biopic. I mean, there's very similar things that happen with any musician with drugs and, fame and ups and downs. But I think the approach is a little bit different, and it's also there for the Queen fan. If you love the music and you want to see how that evolved, it's a pretty good movie.
Bohemian Rhapsody and The Nutcracker and The Four Realms, Suspiria, Beautiful Boy, the movies for the weekend. Kevin Carr is at FatGuysTheMovies.com. Check his site out for more reviews and movie news. Kevin, thanks, pal.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Buddy, you're an old man. Your weekend coming up, extra hour, what to do? I picked out five things, Bill's five things to do. Check out willsinsider.com. Put some links up there as well for Elton John tomorrow night at the Q. Movies for the weekend. Got the ticket link to Adam Tickets for you already. And Playhouse Square with some new stuff as well. With Les Mis. willsinsider.com. Facebook as well. Five ideas for your weekend. Going to Elton John, have fun tomorrow. Boy, let's talk Buckeyes. Tim Moody follows the Bucks for us, editor of Buckeye Sports Bulletin and BuckeyeSports.com. Morning, Tim.
Morning.
Guys, it seems like it's been forever since the upset, 49-20 loss, 2 weeks. A lot of side stories, Tim, including Coach Urban Meyer talking about his health some. And I guess a normal time they'd be out recruiting. He kept everybody in to look at how to fix some things, right?
Yeah, he kept a couple of the coordinators in, was the main point, to try and just kind of look at the overall scheme and look at everything. It was kind of a self-reflection week for Ohio State on the off week, which they needed, quite frankly, on both sides of the ball.
Tim, you're around him. What's your feeling for Urban going forward? He says he wants to coach next year. Do you feel that that's the case?
I do. I definitely do. I think that with everything that's gone on this year, it's pretty easy for a lot of people to kind of react to some of the health issues he's had. But it's also, you need to remember that he's had these headaches and the cysts on his brain for quite a while now, and he's actually had a procedure done before. So I think maybe this year he's having a little more headaches than he has in previous years. I certainly don't think it's anything that's going to keep him from coaching at least a few more years, in my opinion.
Tim, it has been a while, as Bill said, with that week off that since they last played, and it was a horrible night for the Buckeyes. I don't know what's more upsetting, their poor tackling or the lack of a run game. What are your thoughts?
Well, for me, I think everything starts with the run game right now because that has such a huge effect, not only on the offense, but also being able to keep the ball on offense, keep the defense off the field for a while. If you look at that Purdue game, especially in the first half, the Ohio State defense was actually playing pretty well for a while there. I mean, they were down pretty close to halftime and had only given up 7 points before that fake field goal. If Ohio State can run the ball, number one, they'll be able to keep the ball, keep the defense off the field, and it'll open up a lot of things in the red zone where Ohio State just really struggled against Purdue on offense.
And from what we heard from Urban this week, it sounds like a real emphasis on that run game. Your thoughts now is they go at it against Nebraska. Is it going to be kind of like maybe some old throwback Ohio State football in terms of running that football?
I think you're going to see a little bit more just straight called runs. Maybe they go away from the RPO a little bit for a game. But, you know, that's still a big part of the offense. I think it's going to come down to executing the calls when they come in, and you could even see a couple different offensive linemen this week.
Buckeyes and the Nebs, 18-point favorite for the Bucks tomorrow in Columbus at the Shoe. Kickoff is when?
At noon.
As it should
be. Back out at noon in Columbus.
As it should be. Tim Moody following the Bucks for us this morning. Tim's a great follow on Twitter, too, at Tim L. Moody. Tim, thanks, partner.
Thanks for having me on.
Morning news with Wills and Steiner. We get to Friday. It's always Bernie.
Yeah, let's get to the hotline with Bernie, Bill. Freddie Kitchens, Bernie, takes over as the offensive coordinator. Let's just look ahead right now. We know what's happened earlier this week. Now, he's going to be doing the play calling, Bernie, for the first time in a regular season NFL game. That's a tough way to start this thing, isn't it?
It's interesting. Being the sideline analyst in preseason this past year, being at Detroit, the fourth preseason game, I found it interesting when almost prophetic that when Todd Haley had told us that, hey, he has this kind of tradition where he takes an assistant offensive coach each year and he allows them to call plays in the preseason just in case something happens in the regular season. Didn't expect after 8 weeks that a scenario like this would really transpire. And here we would be going into the Kansas City Chiefs game with this situation that's materialized. Definitely not optimal.
Baker Mayfield, the rookie quarterback, laugh thrown at him, Bernie, obviously, this first year. He said some things, though, that I thought would resonate, that he accepted, hey, responsibility, that he's the leader, he understands who he is. Your thoughts about the rookie?
Well, I think, again, that Coach Kitchens, I feel solid about in terms of him being able to step in. Being able at this point in the season, we all could use people around us. Even Coach Kitchens as the play caller, or in the form of the question, Baker Mayfield, our young rookie quarterback, we are all the kind of victims or beneficiaries of the people around us. Mike, me and you have used that kind of that phrase for decades. And right now, Baker, I think, has handled himself significantly well. He's handled himself not like a rookie, like a mature veteran leader. I'd like to see the guys around him, in particular the offensive line, give him a little more time, especially at the tackle position. And then the receivers create a little more separation. And when the opportunity presents itself, make the catch.
And how do we get back to when those first game, like first game and a half, in which he was so quick with his release? It seems like he's held on to it longer. What's happening that you've seen that has made that happen, Bernie?
Well, there's been adjustments within the way you play the Browns offensively and the way you attack Baker Mayfield. The NFL defenses do a nice job of kind of playing to your strengths. So you have to keep developing your game. Baker's game, I think, is fine. He has some tendencies within it. That being said, he's doing fine. I think some of the guys around him need to elevate their level of play.
Coming into town are the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. They're 7-1. Bernie, this kid has been lights out within Andy Reid's system. What about dealing with the Chiefs?
Well, when you look at the Chiefs, first, I find it ironic that more than 40% of their offensive line is ex-Cleveland Browns. Mm. But the weapons that they have, especially the department, the speed departments on offense, with Kelsey, a Northeast Ohio guy, with Hunt at the running back position, with Tyreek Hill, this is a type of team where you don't know how to really cover the man zone principles. A lot of teams have been playing man press coverage against them. With all that speed and athleticism, that opens it up to big plays. And this is why I think Patrick Mahomes has had so many big plays this year. From the Browns' perspective, one of the few positives that I think is going for us this week is our defensive line has done a fantastic job of trying to get pressure with only rushing four guys.
Bernie, we look forward to our visit with you next week. Hopefully the Browns can shock the world on Sunday.
Sounds good.
Best team coverage of the Browns, Bernie Kosar. Later, 8:45, catch Josh Cribb.
I talked about the time, Bill. I don't know.
How long is this going to go?
I'll keep it brief. When I was my first job on the air, out of school, right?
Tell me, Lou Grant.
I was the morning guy, Bill. I was like you, except sometimes you feel like you're all alone. Well, I was all alone. Anyhow, I have my front two teeth are caps, okay? And I was cutting the old teletype, getting all the news stories together. Big sneeze, caps come out. So now I try to put them back, and I'm like going, oh my gosh, can I talk? There's nobody else I'm going on the air, right? So now I said, you know, I think, well, in Harrisburg today, the temperature high of 49. Maybe I can do this. What I forgot was the opening line. You're listening to the Rock of the Susquehanna. I survived that morning. That was my first job, like my first week on the air.
Good story. So good stuff.
So
good stuff.
Thank you. Stuff. That was fun.
Good stuff. We got news too, right?
Oh, we absolutely do. The NBA has put Cleveland at the epicenter of basketball in 2022, and with all the benefits that come along with that, college loans and mortgages, big debt, how one local community is trying to help one make the other one easier, and $17 million to make sure the area around Voinovich Park is more walkable. All those stories and more coming up at 8:30.
Best team coverage of the Browns for you. Josh Cribbs later at 8:45. Let's talk some Cavs right now. And Jim Jones checks in. Our Morning Cavaliers update brought to you by Huntington Bank this morning. Looking for a bank that looks out for its customers. Welcome to Huntington. 110-91 loss last night. Morning, Jim.
Morning, guys.
When I got in the car, I think it was about just before the half, you were commenting, though, how you like the young guys and the passing. I know it's early, only a couple of games. Are you seeing any trends, even though we had a loss last night?
Yeah, I think the communication between player and coach and all the way around is a lot better, Bill. This is going to be a process, and I think fans can live with that as long as they're competitive. I don't think that's an issue. But last night they ran into one of the top three teams this season, this early, from the West Coast. And Denver is really good. I wish we could have been more competitive. Bill, you ever go to Bible study?
Sure.
You know, and then your teacher says, okay, read the next two chapters of Leviticus.
Yeah.
And then you get one ambitious guy who reads 10 chapters.
Yeah, and he wants to quote it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he comes back to class, and you're going over what you were assigned to do, but then he's going on farther, and he's looking at everybody like, I got you. Well, and then the teacher says, I told you only to read this chapter because most of us have only gotten this far.
Right.
That's where we are right now.
Okay.
You know, they're ahead of us. And for us to be more competitive, we have to get better and we have to get there. And that's the way it is with us. You know, there's so much stuff that has to be improved upon before we can become more competitive. You know, and when Larry Drew looks down his bench and he sees what he has, there's no shame in it. There's talent there, but we haven't gotten that far yet. You know, and that's why last night the bottom fell out and we had nowhere to go yet because we hadn't read that far yet.
And Jim,
so it takes time.
And Jim, I think one of the things that we've heard, I think even Larry Drew saying, even some of the players, there really just is no margin for error right now with his team, is there?
No, it isn't, but it's nothing to be afraid of. It's just the reality of where we are right now. This is almost like training camp again for us because Drew understands how competitive we need to be and he can get us there, but we aren't there yet, you know, and everybody else is ahead of us. They read the extra five or six chapters. We're still on the first and second chapter of Leviticus.
And
you know, so it takes time. It takes time, you know, and, you know, I always try to calm people down because But that's reality, and it's not an excuse. But I like where we're going. I like the energy. I thought the transition defense was a lot better than it was the other night. We just don't know how to come from behind yet, based upon the things that he wants to do offensively and defensively.
Well, there's work to be done, and of course you're into it now. The games keep coming, Jim, so there's not a lot of practice time, so that's also part of it. You are learning on the fly now, aren't you, too?
Yeah, and it's not a problem, but it's a reality, and they're going to get better. The challenge for us is that they keep their confidence, that they can play, and that we are going to get better, and some things that they can change immediately, that's what they've been doing. But when you come against a team like this, who have been together relatively for three, maybe 3.5 years, who were in that position 4 years ago that we're in now, then you see the gaps.
Jim Jones heading south, Charlotte Saturday, Orlando on Monday. Complete Cavaliers coverage on WTAM 1100. Jim, thanks, partner.
You're welcome.
All right, take care. Hey, Mike Snyder, two other quick notes. Larry Drew, nothing official as far as a new extension. He's feeling better, though. Is that what he's saying?
Well, he said yesterday that he thought that things were going in a positive direction. So that sounds good. Yeah, I think they both sides kind of need each other.
Meanwhile, as I speak right now at 8:28:50, what's J.R. Smith's status?
Well, he's a Cavalier.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, J.R., I guess from what he said, that they said, look, you can almost do what you want to do. We're going to play the younger guys, J.R.
Right.
You don't even have to be here. Well, he said, I want to be here.
Okay.
You know, so now, teams are going to look around. He's over $14 million this year, Bill. He's 33. I don't know who's really looking out there to make a move. Ideally, maybe something will happen as we move along. But right now, he is part of the team.
Best team coverage of the Browns. News Radio WTAM 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside our fave, Josh Cribbs, part of the Browns coaching staff out in Berea with us on the hotline. Morning, Josh.
Morning.
What a week. Let me ask you the question this way. Baker Mayfield called Monday a, quote, welcome to the business. Now, you've been in the business a while, but you were a coach on Monday, too. Talk to me about how you got through the day.
Well, it was difficult, you know, and you kind of, you know, understood what he meant by, you know, the business of it. You know, of Hugh Jackson leaving us in the middle of a season and having to not dwell on it, to not, you know, soak, but to instead prepare for the next game like professionals and go out there and play hard.
You know, Josh, I think for all of us maybe that have not been involved in football, we have been in a situation where a boss has been fired or there's been a change, and there's always that, okay, what's it going to be like when the new guy takes over? What's it like now Greg goes into that role? Do things change much, or is it you just try to, everyone does things a little differently. What's that been like this week as he assumes that different role?
Well, he's been in a leadership role. His voice is very pronounced around the facility already. I think that it was a pretty simple and easy move that, you know, Greg was able to do a transition. He kept things really pretty much the same. He obviously respects Hugh Jackson a lot, being on his coaching staff. Couldn't said enough good, great things about him. And, the only thing that he, you know, said that kind of was pronounced was to honor his legacy of being here by winning, you know, to use his departure as, you know, win one for the Gipper. You know, we all respected Hugh Jackson, myself included, him giving me the opportunity to come and coach on this football team. You know, it was decisions that were made that were out of our hands, you know, Greg did a good job at, you know, basically refocusing the team and making everything and normalizing everything. You know, certain guys coming up, they may not be used to a coaching change like this. This is why, you know, Baker said what he said, you know, and welcome to the, you know, NFL football, because things like this happen all the time. You know, under me about 3 or 4 times in my stint here in 8 years. So this is what the NFL is, and you know, we're going to move forward. Greg Williams is doing a good job so far, having a good week of practice, and we're looking to go out here and give it our best on Sunday.
Heck of a test Sunday. One of the best teams in the league in here, the Chiefs. Josh Cribbs, best team coverage of the Browns, WTAM 1100. Josh, we really appreciate your time this morning, and good luck Sunday. Okay, pal?
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Josh back Monday morning, 7:50. Who knows? Could they upset him? Talk about a win? I don't know. Speaking of Sunday, they'll make us a part of your Browns Sunday. Universal Windows direct countdown to kickoff will be from the Jack Casino, 9-1. Mark Munch Bishop, Greg Brenda, Mike Snyder. You talk about an expensive lineup here. Best team coverage of the Browns with Josh Cribbs, Bernie, Terry, Pluto, Phil Savage, and Fred Greetham on Cleveland's News Talk and Sports, News Radio WTAM 1100. Greg Harris, CEO of the Rock Hall in a minute. Update us on the voting for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And a interesting night coming up, let me get this in front of me, December 1st? Okay, we'll talk more about that event too coming up.
Let's talk some Rock Hall. And Greg Harris is NCO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Matter of fact, thank you. I got my first Christmas ornament. Thank you very much. It's great.
You know, you're very welcome. I have to say, giving them out this early didn't quite feel right. But, you know, I walked into Lowe's before Halloween, and the darn place was decorated for Christmas. Right. So I guess it's, you know, all bets are off. But we're doing our first ever Rock and Roll Hall of Fame holiday ball. It's December 1st.
Okay.
The public can get tickets for it. Rocco Whalen's going to do a great menu. There's a Grammy-winning artist playing. His name is Mike Ferris. He's terrific. And you know what? If you've been a slacker and you didn't book your office Christmas party yet or your holiday party, buy a bunch of tickets and bring everybody down and just celebrate and call it your party.
Now, you're going to have this 1st. At the Rock Hall?
At the Rock Hall.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
December 1st.
December 1st. Come on down. It's the first time we're doing this, and we're really excited to offer it to the community.
Very cool idea. Now, and as you mentioned, we know the holidays are just around the corner. And is this a good time, Greg, to kind of start making some plans if you got family visitors coming in to make a visit?
Yes, you know, we are always that destination when you have your house guests in for Thanksgiving or for the holidays. They come over to see the museum because they've traveled from far and wide to be here. Well, we want to put a twist on it this year. If the local person brings them down, and I don't mean drop them off at the curb and come pick them up later. Okay. If the local person brings them down and comes in, everybody walking in is going to be able to get a ticket for the local price. It's a great savings.
Wow.
It equates to about 25% off your tickets, and come on down. The reason we're doing this is we want locals to see this place. We want to see what you've helped bring here and all the new changes we have. So bring your house guest. Come on over. We're going to have a lot of stuff happening over Thanksgiving and over the holidays.
And unique gifts, right? Bill mentioned the ornaments already. It's a really, if you're looking for something really kind of cool, you've got it, right?
You know, that's terrific, Mike. That's not even in the talking points and you're talking about our store. I love it. Our retail folks have just gone all out. The merchandise has never been better. Diana Bortz is our director of retail, and our store manager, Ryan, they have just, the place looks better than ever, and the stuff is great. Come on down and check it out. I think you'll be thrilled to see all the different rock and roll related stuff. And then a new category called lifestyle products. They're things that make you feel rock and roll-y. Oh. So it's some apparel, it's some household things. It's really worth checking out. And if you come down to the store, you don't even need to buy a ticket. Just come on in, go to the store. We're going to try and divert you to have a nice craft beer or something in our cafe while you're there, but come down and check it out.
Great points about the holidays coming up, planning time. Make sure the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is a part of what you do. Now, we've had early voting underway, of course, for many things, including for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You got an update for me? Is Stevie going to get in?
You know, so right now, about 2 million votes have been cast in the fan vote at rockhall.com. Stevie, Nicks and Def Leppard are topping that fan vote.
Ooh, okay. Ooh.
And Stevie is looking really good. If she gets inducted, she'll be our first female inductee. If you were at the show last Friday night, at the first female inductee that goes in as a member of a band and a solo artist. First one.
Wow. Okay.
And if you were at the queue the other night, Fleetwood Mac sounded terrific. Stevie sounded great. We hope she gets the votes. We'd love to have her in the Hall of Fame.
Todd Rundgren, The Cure, The Zombies, also up there too, right?
Yeah, that's our top five right now. All terrific. It would be a wonderful class if any of those five make it. And then, you know, we'll change over all of our exhibits to celebrate them and recognize them throughout next year.
Boy, Stevie could bring some dresses. I mean, she's got the look in all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. Find out more at the Rock Hall website, right, Greg?
You got it. Rockhall.com is the answer. And come down and check it out. Bring your friends and neighbors, and don't miss a chance to see all of these great inductees at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Fun stuff. Greg Harris, CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Thanks, pal. Have a good weekend.
Thanks.
Be good.